Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. As we're set to talk a little bit of Cowboys here with you, General at your service. There he is, Jeff Cavanaugh, Brian Broaddus, and Lucius Alexander. Along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. All right. Was Mike McCarthy really guilty of the worst decision of week one in the entire NFL? Smart people are weighing in. We didn't get a shot, at least I didn't get a shot, to talk to Brian about this on Monday and Tuesday. Maybe you guys talked about this on Friday. But
Brian's a crusty. He ain't trying to go for it on fourth down.
No. You're wrong. In the post-game show with Ari and I pointed that out. I'm like, listen, you can't let that happen. You know, because Ari started figuring out win probabilities and stuff, and it was like at 38%. If you go for it, 38% of a chance of a win, 20% if you don't kick the field goal like he did. So I wanted to know. I said, listen, I'm sorry, I'm not a math guy, analytics guy, but I know in my heart that he should have gone for it. I know just because of the way you're playing Tom Brady, you have to play the game unconventionally. Yeah. And going for it there, give me my, you know, I click on the headset and I tell Kellen Moore, I go, give me your best two-point play. Whatever your best two-point play is, we're about to run it here to get this touchdown. Okay? Yeah. And that, absolutely. But that was discussed moments after that game went final.
You know, and it was something that Mike McCarthy did quite a bit last year. And the NFL continues to do more, but the Cowboys took a big step back in week one. So the question is why? At 877-881-1053, you want to text into the show. We'll you know, chat with you. We want your feedback. The story's at CBSSports.com real quick. Let me just lay out the context and the facts here of this story. NFL teams went for fourth down conversions 51 times this past weekend. The highest single week total in modern league history.
All right.
The most go-for-its. This was a really cool story that Brian found. He emailed it to us. This was up from 37 in week one last year.
Which was the record?
Up from 30, last year, 26 in 2019 and 22 in 2018. So,
yeah, we're breaking records.
That year in week one, teams went for it on fourth down 8 times prior to the fourth quarter. Just 3 years later, that number ballooned to 33. So not only are we going for it a lot more, twice as more as 2 years ago, but going for it 4 times as much before we even get to the fourth quarter. We're not waiting. We're trying to build value and probabilities towards winning as soon as the game gets started. Perhaps the most notable was one that very few season football watchers questioned. On Thursday night, Dak expertly engineered a late fourth quarter drive, set up Greg Zuerlein for what many assume will be a game-winning field goal. But on 4th and 6 from the Tampa Bay 30, this isn't either of the 4th and 3s. We're going to the end of the game. 4th and 6 from the Tampa 30 with 1:29 remaining. Down 2 points.
When they took the lead?
Yes.
They're saying you should go for that?
Well, Edge Sports Model and betting markets alike recommended the Cowboys keep their offense on the field. The reasoning, in short, was the likelihood of what ultimately played out. Edge Sports founder Frank Frigo explained in detail, even after Zuerlein drilled a 48-yarder, which of course was no sure thing.
Exactly.
The Cowboys were still more likely to lose the game than win it, even after you made it.
That's wild.
Tom Brady with the ball, a timeout, a one-point deficit, 1:24 on the clock, was still the betting favorite.
There you go.
By going for it, the Cowboys could have taken the game out of Brady's hands. A conversion could have made Zuerlein's field goal attempt easier and decisive.
That's just interesting.
Edge Sports more calculated all of this in real time. Model calculated all this in real time. Retrospectively, it dubbed head coach Mike McCarthy's choice to kick the worst coaching decision of week one.
Okay, but I don't argue against the math, How many coaches you think kick there?
Probably
32, right?
Your kicker. Okay, this is what I always get on coaches about knowing how the game is going. Your kicker was butt.
Right, you could have missed the kick.
You could have missed that kick, and then it would have been even worse.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Every team is going to play we can have the lead with a minute and a half left, or we might lose the game right now without getting the lead.
See, that's what I'm saying. When you play against guys like Brady, Breeze, these guys that are comeback specialists, you can't leave them any time, and you have to play the game. You have to think about the game differently. Like I say, the 4th and 3 on the goal line, I would have gone for it. Even though I'm crusty, I would have gone for that.
Yeah.
But there's times
4th and 3 on the 13.
If you're playing against some butt quarterback that's not going to, come back, our defense is.
Yeah, kick the field goal, a Heineke out there.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, we got this.
Not with Aaron, though.
No, not with these guys that are Hall of Famers. You can't, you played right into Tom Brady's hands. How did Bruce Arians had a chance to, save a timeout for Brady at the end of the game. Remember, they had the illegal motion penalty, I believe.
They had an incomplete pass, too.
Yeah.
CD went out of bounds after the big first
down. Think about this, though. Remember, they got, I don't know, it was a legal procedure call.
They backed him up five yards, and they were able to not have the runoff.
Right. They took the timeout. It's like, I got Tom Brady at quarterback. He didn't need the timeout.
Right.
I'm going to use the timeout right now. Like most quarterbacks, most coaches are like, okay, if we take the runoff here, well, at least we saved the timeout to get the field goal on.
Yeah.
But with Brady, he's like, no, I'm going to save the time. And what did Tom Brady end up doing? He threw 3 straight balls. Didn't even need the time at the end of the game.
No.
Didn't even need it. Threw 3 straight incompletions to milk the clock.
I think Bruce Arians is still getting used to the luxury of having Tom Brady. He was kind of panicky over there on the sidelines at times.
He was.
And Tom was like, we got this.
Yeah, he looked over there like,
we have the ball, coach.
Yeah. He's like, listen, I know what I'm doing. I'm just going to, don't call play. I'm just going to throw the ball out of bounds 3 straight times. We're going to kick this field goal with no time.
Yeah, it was well done by the Buccaneers and a possible win by the Cowboys. But 4th and 6, I think that extends what we imagine as being where you should go for it. The 4th and 3s are there as well. And real quick, Brian, the question I wanted to ask you guys, are the Cowboys looking at the league numbers, and Mike McCarthy's very aware of it and saying, that doesn't apply to us because we can't run the ball and we haven't been good on 3rd down or the red zone for 3 years now. So we can't keep going off the league-wide numbers. We have to start coaching to what our track record is.
I think that could factor in. Now, I don't think that Mike McCarthy or Kellen Moore or Dak Prescott are going to look at the last 3 years and think that going forward they're not going to be good in the red zone. So I do think, 4th and 6. What's interesting is as soon as we talked about it, how that's the quote worst, because even to me, who's numbers guy, I was like, oh, really? 4th and 6?
But think about
and
that.
And the texts all said the same thing. Mike McCarthy gets murdered if they go for it and don't get it. And that's what's always held coaches back, is they just don't want the media to freak out. I did something that is unusual in football, even though it's, quote, right.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, I'm going to get fired because I did something different.
How about just this? Post the math on an overhead projector.
There's 2 things he could have said. There's 2 things post-game that he could have said to shut Todd Archer up. Okay? He could have said, we missed a 31-yard field goal today and an extra point.
There you go.
Okay? Right. We also, did you see who was playing quarterback for them today? That's Tom Brady over there. Okay? Any more questions we have here?
Yeah.
And then explain, he gets murdered, but his response is, my kicker missed a 31-yarder and a 33-yard extra point.
Yeah.
I was trying to do everything in my power not to make him have to kick a 48-yard field goal.
It would be great. I don't know if the fans would like it, but I would love if a coach just gave you the honest-to-God perfect truth. Where he just goes, well, it was 4th and 6, and this is the odds we convert that. And if we convert it, the game is essentially over and we've won.
Yeah.
If we don't convert it, we've lost. If we kick the field goal, the chances of us winning this game are this.
Yeah.
Therefore, it adds up to go for it on 4th and 6. Thank you.
Yeah. We have Dak and these receivers.
He had 2 good reasons. His kicker was butt, and he was playing Tom Brady.
So would you guys do it? Let me put you back in that situation here coming up on Sunday instead of the – well, I guess it applies because Herbert's about as good as Tom Brady right now.
If it if it is...
He might have to do that. He might have to.
I would want the math, and I think a team would have that available in the moment, because if it's close, honestly, I think I would have kicked it. And you're going to end up giving Tom Brady the ball, and you're going to go, I hope we stop him.
Jerry Jones, when he gave him the ball with 1:23, knew the game was over. He knew it. He said it the next day on our station. He knew it. He goes, yeah, you leave a lot of time, you know, that kind of stuff. Let me tell you this, though. Did you watch the end of that Chargers game against the football team?
Yes.
Did you carry it all the way through?
Yeah.
Did you watch him kill the last 5 minutes of that game,
yeah.
Herbert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the kind of crap, you know, you have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, you deal with guys like that that play quarterback to a level that almost makes you have to do things you don't normally do.
And then you add to that that you only had one corner that could handle it.
Yeah.
You know what Tom Brady's going to do. We didn't get a sack all game.
By the way, I mean, there's so many things he could have like referenced in that game, and it'd been fine.
You know what? It's kind of like playing blackjack, and it takes a while to get disciplined enough to do it. But you have 16. The dealer's showing a face card, and you look at the dealer, and you look down the lane, and everybody's saying you got to hit. And you're like, fine, give me the damn 7. I bust, right?
Yeah.
But you know in the back of your head, the math says my best chance of winning is hitting right now and hoping for a 5 or less.
Yep.
I don't have a chance to win if I just sit here and let the dealer turn her cards over. And now I haven't even done anything. I haven't even acted. I just sat here and took it. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. 254, you have to play that series knowing you're going for it on fourth no matter what. 806, the worst decision was trying the 60-yard field goal with the butt kicker at the end of the first half. Yeah, there were really four calls in there. The field goal, the 2 fourth and 3s, and then I guess 4th and 6 that I hadn't even thought about till Brian, you sent us that story. All right, how about a little preview of week 2? We have a Texas, a native quarterback suddenly under the microscope and under pressure after a horrible week 1. Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Ugh. Knows it's easier said than done in Seattle. He's been trying to ignore the noise following an ugly performance in their season opener that will continue this Sunday when the Titans QB plays in Seattle, regarded as one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. Tannehill said with a smile, I wouldn't say I am looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be hectic. Now, Tannehill also acknowledged the Titans have plenty to fix following a 38-13 loss to the Cardinals. He threw for 212 yards and a touchdown but was sacked 6 times. Having to play the NFC West is not cool at all this year. I don't know. Is this where the Titans' party kind of ends, their resurgence they've enjoyed the last couple of years?
Maybe, with a tough schedule. I think in that division, they're okay.
Yeah.
Because the team that everybody is pretending is going to be good,
the quarterback's awful.
Is the Colts. And I just don't think the Colts are going to be what optimistic Colt fans think they're going to be.
Nope.
I think that team is going to be a little bit on the struggle bus. So I think we take things in week 1 and 5 weeks later, it turns into a nothing. And my guess would be with Tennessee, that's what we're looking at.
Sked's about to get a lot easier, probably.
And, yeah, I was going to say, unless, because I want to see what the rest of the schedule is, but if they're going to play all of the NFC West and another first-place team.
They could end up being 2-4. They got Colts here, and then Jets, and then Titans. So they could bounce back to 3-2, but then Bills and Chiefs?
Those are tough ones, and then the Bills are in the same spot where you start 0-1, and people are like, well, hold on now, what's going on here? And the answer is we'll find out in like 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But for now, you'd look at the Bills and be like, oh, rocky start for that team.
All righty. Matt Ryan, past losses to Tom Brady have no bearing on this week. Falcons getting set to take on the Bucs. Matt Ryan has played 5 games in his career against Tom, and the Falcons are 0-5. Last year, they led the Bucs by 2 touchdowns at half and gave it away. And of course,
I don't think they'll do that this time.
They won't get up on them.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the Falcons did, of course, get swept by Tampa last year. As Ryan prepares to face Brady's Buccaneers, he says he has to keep looking forward, not back. Of course, we want to win. I'm not going to make up that, but you know, it's one of those things. It's part of your past. It's part of what happened, but it's got no bearing on this week. I think it absolutely does. I think Matt Ryan is. You know, had enough of these high-profile losses that there's no way if the game gets late and they're up 4 and they got the ball, how it doesn't play in your mind, I don't know. You know, especially when you don't have a defense, you're going to put all the pressure on you. He's in an impossible situation right now.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are sort of an NFL lesson to people, because I think Matt Ryan is still a pretty good quarterback. I think, like, he's played a long enough career and established that I'm a good NFL quarterback. And to use our Brian's word of the day, I think that roster is butt.
Yeah.
It's Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan, Kyle Pitts, and that's it.
Yeah.
They're bad at linebacker, defensive line, secondary, offensive line.
They've drafted poorly. Tom Dimitroff and that crew, they lost their jobs because you draft poorly. You know, Dan Quinn lost his job because you draft poorly. You know, you lose games. I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, maybe they're still there. Maybe they have that a little bit of, okay, we can get this thing going again. But if you draft poorly in the NFL and you don't develop players and you get embarrassed every single week, you're going to lose your job. And Tom Dimitroff knows that. He did. They had a lot of really poor drafts there that hurt them.
Yeah, tough deal. So, I think the takeaway is Matt Ryan probably will not have an opportunity to give away a lead in this game. That's probably going to be another blowout. Here we go, G-Bag Nation. When we come back, Mike Fisher set to join you. He'll give you the very latest insights from Cowboys practice and how the Cowboys might figure out something without Tank here moving forward. That is next in the G-Bag Nation.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Okay, segment here is brought to you by My Computer Career. It's brought to you by Rubin & Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. He will talk to you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple, confidential phone call. Mark Rubin, Rubin & Associates, 800-LAWYERS. Fish, how the hell are you?
Boys, so much happening here in Frisco today that I'm going to try to go in chronological order with the Cowboys. Should we try that?
Come on, Fish. Give it to us the good way.
Okay. So we start the day with Mike McCarthy. And a really good question, in fact, a series of questions are posed to him about here we go again syndrome. And he kind of poo-pooed it, and, you know, and like any other coach, you know, nobody's going to feel sorry for us and all that kind of stuff. But it is real. You are human. And you get off the plane from Tampa after losing, but and maybe feeling as good as you can about a loss, and then boom, 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 boom. As many bad things as can happen to a team in 5 days happen to a team, from the wide receiver Gallup to the offensive tackle Collins to Tank Lawrence now, who had surgery this morning, to Leon Lett getting eaten up by the tackling, by the blocking sled, and he needs surgery, and what am I leaving out? On and on and on and on. Let's just talk about humans. You have to be a very resilient person to not have a moment as a member of the Dallas Cowboys not to think, oh, woe is me. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
So it is now imperative on the shoulders of this coach and coaching staff. He's got to be right when he says, nope, we don't feel that way. We got none of that. We ain't got any of those high school Harry, George, F-abouts, none of that stuff. He better be right, because it is human nature for him to be wrong. It is human nature for the Cowboys to look around and say, what in the world else could go wrong?
Well,
and they better fight through that.
He's got to worry about his culture, though. He has to. He can't let his team get soft.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem is, if he comes out there and he's like, well, you know, yeah. You know, because last year we heard of COVID problems. Yeah, we heard of we can't teach. Yeah, we've heard all these things. We can't have back-to-back years of him not being able to handle crisis management stuff.
And
right.
Fish, you could call me a homer if you want to. I'd appreciate it if you did. The quarterback's still here. It's a whole different world than when the quarterback's not here.
Yeah.
There you go. And you're not a homer there, and we'll get to the quarterback in a minute. And maybe he all by himself makes you not soft. And, Brian, I'm with you. I hesitate because I'm just a soft, old, broken-down, old sports writer. So I hesitate to call a professional athlete soft, but I think we all know what we're talking about here.
It will. You know, the minute you start standing up there and talking in the media about, well, yeah, this and yeah, that, then your team becomes that. And he can't afford to have that happen another year. He had it happen. He gave them excuses because of the pandemic stuff and all that. We all fought through that. But now you have to go be a football coach.
I agreed. I'm going to submit to you, at the risk of being a name caller, that maybe the Dallas Cowboys culture is soft. And maybe it's been soft. Again, we're talking relatively. Maybe it's been soft for a long time. Maybe that's how this great roster keeps winning only 8 games and 6 games and 7 games. And so I think we all agree here. It is absolutely imperative for Mike McCarthy's career to make sure that he doesn't get bitten by this particular bug.
I think there have been a lot of tough guys, but I think you got to be cut a little bit different to sort of overcome some of the things that drag this organization down. But I would also say a lack of commitment or lack of ability to identify good amateur defensive players is really what's held this team back. And maybe that's made them soft. Maybe not having a defensive backbone has made the organization kind of soft, but they swung and missed on just way too many players.
Yeah, by the way, one of those guys, we failed to mention Randy Gregory, who's one of those guys that they swung and haven't hit on yet, and he remains in the COVID protocol. So there's your big five getting kicked in the Gortats here in the last few days. And it's rough, but that's what we signed on for. Tank Lawrence with the surgery. Tank tweets that I'll be back for war and all that kind of stuff, and that's the way Tank talks, and that's great. But it is foot surgery. And Gavin, of course, you've been a leader in the medical field when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys for many years.
Yeah, I like to play doctor on the radio.
So I joined the club. I'm not. I don't look at the calendar and say, oh, I guarantee Tank will be back. I don't do that at all. Do you?
I'm a little bit cynical about the 6-week thing, you know?
Yes, yes.
I don't know when he'll be back. I think this is one of those injuries that's highly unpredictable. Certainly, there have been players that come back in 6 to 8 weeks and continue on and have success. But for every one of those, there's a Dez Bryant where it kind of, is the beginning of the end of a career.
It's a big man on his foot.
Yeah.
It's a big man on a broken foot. Yeah. We did get a chance to talk to McCarthy about the strategy. And you'll note on the injury report, and I just put it on 105.3 The Fan and on Twitter, your man, Jeffrey, the rookie Chauncey Golson.
Let's go.
He's coming, and so we can put him in this big bundle of guys that you hope you get some answers from. Terrell Basham, speaking to the media afterwards, said, who's the tackle from Bulaga? What's his name? Brian
Bulaga.
Brian Bulaga, yeah.
He goes, yeah, I played against him last year, and I really enjoyed myself, Basham said.
Yeah, that was a funny quote. It's like, man, I'd really like to play the left because that's fun.
Yeah, so maybe he can enjoy himself. And then McCarthy being asked about the who's who of all this, the subject of Micah Parsons being a pass rusher comes up. So you two scouting brains, if I took Micah Parsons for the rest of his life and said, you're a defensive end or you're a 3-4 outside linebacker and you rush the passer, he would probably have a successful career doing that. Agreed?
I think he'd have a really good career.
Okay, so can I move him over there sometimes?
Not only can you, Fish, I demand that you do. This is my demand.
Okay, good. Because the trickle-down effect isn't really a trickle-down. It's actually a trickle sideways, because that means Leighton Vander Esch would come in and play linebacker, and there's nothing particularly wrong with that.
Agree.
Okay, we did bring up somebody did bring up the idea of Jalen Smith, and he talked to the media afterwards. He said, I'll do whatever they want, and that's not surprising. But by the time we got done going through this list of people all the way down to Jalen, McCarthy finally said, yeah, I should have just brought the whole game plan up here, and I'll just read it off to you. But can we agree that while Jalen Smith cannot line up at defensive end and play that position, that you could have Jalen Smith help as a pass rusher in some capacity? You guys with me there?
Yeah, like as a blitzer. As a guy, I don't think he can play the edge, because I think out there there's two things I want you to be able to do. Turn.
Yeah.
And
turn and burn.
I want you to be able to turn and burn, and I want you to be able to get off of blocks. And I think those are two things he can't do that Parsons can do.
So let's get some more snaps for Leighton Vander Esch, and let's get even more versatility for Micah Parsons. And maybe you can put together a group at defensive end that can have some success, because obviously besides no Tank, they're clearly planning on no Randy Gregory at this point. Greg Zuerlein's still here, and he even is meeting the media. And I must say, the last time somebody around here talked like this, it was Tony Romo, and we crushed him for it. But that doesn't mean that he's wrong. Greg Zuerlein saying, I'm realizing that the world didn't end. I'm still alive. God woke me up in the morning. The sun rose. Life goes on. But I do feel terrible about it. That's the exact right perspective, as long as you can funnel it into making extra points. So so good on you, Greg, the leg. Now go and don't lay an egg.
Yeah, you know, I appreciated him saying that. I you know, he's not in denial like the organization and the coaches are about his qualities as a kicker. That's good to know. There's at least one person in the chain being objective about it.
Right.
Fish is on the Romeo's Pizza hotline. Get game-winning pizza delivery and takeout at romeospizza.com.
Yeah, he's not saying everything's fine.
Yeah.
He's saying, no, everything's not fine. Everything sucks. But it could be fine on Sunday. He also talked about, and I frankly wish more players would think this way, and I know that we don't because we're all branding ourselves, we're all selling ourselves, and we've all got to hashtag ourselves. I brought this up, Jeffrey. You and I have talked about this a lot with the Cowboys receiving group, Dez Bryant and Cole Beasley and Terrence and those guys, about how, remember, after every game, I would go into the locker room, every road game, go in the locker room especially, and all three of them be sitting together looking at Twitter, seeing what people are saying about them.
Yeah.
And I used to try to tell them, what a terrible waste of time it is. You just won. You just beat the Browns. What do you care what Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport or Mike Fisher think of your performance?
Well, but somebody's got to eat this bag of D's, Fish. It's got to be done sometimes.
That is true. Well, here we got Zuerlein saying, no, I don't have social media. I don't look at social media. I don't let my kids have social media because there's nothing good that can come from social media. And he's not quite right, but he's close. He's pretty close, especially when you do what he does for a living. Meanwhile, Dorrance Armstrong, I think it was Jane Slater that threw this one at Dorrance, who's going to be a factor here as a defensive end. He says, yeah, he goes and checks his name, looks for his name, sees what everybody's saying about him. And I'm just saying, Dorrance, if you happen to be listening, I'm an old man advising you the way I advised generations before you. Stop it. Because all it's going to do is get you eating bags of things. It's not going to accomplish anything. There's nobody on Twitter. This is true. There's almost nobody on Twitter in the whole world who knows how to play defensive end better than Dorrance Armstrong. The percentage of people on Twitter who could advise Dorrance Armstrong is 0.00000 something. So, Dorrance, go visit Leon Lett in the hospital and get your advice that way.
Sounds good, Fish. Anything else before we let you go?
Fish out.
Fish out. There he goes. Mic drop moment from Fish.
I'm going to search Broadus's name on Twitter.
Why is that?
See what people are saying about him. Because I already searched my own name, and nobody's talking about me. So I'm going to see if anybody's talking about Broadus.
It's those mentioned things. It's the underneath all what you say or the tweets that's the ones where the people are. And there's sometimes the people they won't at you. You know, they won't say.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. The people who don't at you and see what they're saying about you.
I don't have a problem with people saying anything about me. I just don't like it when they tag me and tell a player that, oh, well, hey, I mean, if the player and players have problems with me, they've said it all the time. I've had guys like Jason Hatcher and people like that come in my office and tell me Jason Witten had a problem with me one time, you know. So, I mean,
you tell Witten, I'll air you out, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, I know your secrets.
Well, to me, you know, I don't have a problem with, but again, you're dragging me into other things.
I'm doing my job over here in my office, bro. Leave me alone, okay? I'm on the radio. Yeah. Yes, I have opinions about players. Yeah. Yes, sorry it hurt your feelings, bro. Okay, is Alden Smith signed? Didn't he go to the Raiders?
He got legal trouble again?
Yeah, he got legal trouble and he got let go. So yeah.
That's not an option?
Well, that was one of the names that a guy threw out there, but he threw the LOL after it, is what he did. Oh, one of my Gang of Seven guys.
So. Yeah, he got a little second-degree battery April 19th, 2021.
Yeah, I'm going to go through it at that.
Beat up a guy or a gal?
I don't know, but the arraignment was on July 14th. So if he's not in jail, you know.
Well, that stinks. I was kind of hoping.
Trent Murphy's out there, too.
There you go. There's another name.
Hey, there you go.
Yep. Trent Murphy. Mm-hmm. There's a number of names. When do you guys think they would be looking to do something? Do you think that maybe they'll try to sign somebody this week and get him cleared for next week?
Yeah, you have to get this. You have to get the ball rolling. Like, you'd have to bring him in, like, tomorrow, and then hopefully you could get him, like, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then you get him ready for practice. That's the best thing. If you're going to make a move for next week, you'd have to do it, like, today or tomorrow.
Is there a sense of urgency, you think, in the organization, or do they want to see what they have with Randy and Mike out there?
I think what they want to do is they want to see what they have. I really do, at least for this first week. And you know, they drafted Bradley and I. They want to see Bradley and I play.
Could do both things. You could see what they do while also setting up a pipeline.
If you and I worked in the pro personnel department, we'd be all over it.
Yeah.
But you know, there's things that, again, there's things with scouts recommend stuff to coaches.
Yeah.
And coaches, it's like playing the right tackle. Yeah. Scouts will tell you the right thing is to play Zach Martin at right tackle.
Yeah.
The coaches will tell you, hey, let's play the try-hard guy who's always prepared and ready and who we love to coach because he wants to be coached.
Well, and to be accurate, I think if we were working together in the front office, you would be doing a lot of the personnel and the scouting and the networking, and I would be in charge of taking the guys who aren't strong enough.
Tell them about the steroids.
And introducing them to somebody.
Go see Dr. Gavin.
Outside the organization.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
Listen, guys, the organization is never going to tell you this. Your wife probably is never going to tell you this. Your buddies probably are. You're not strong enough, Tyler. Yeah. Get in there. Yeah. Okay, go see somebody. How much do you want to work when your career is over? Do you like making $600,000 a year for 3 years and then being out of the NFL? Or would you like to make 12 to 15 million?
I would like to make 12 to 15 million.
Okay, all right. Now, you can also get your own doctor and you can go to him and say, Doc, don't tell anybody, but I'm in the NFL. I'm not strong enough, so I'm doing steroids. Can you please monitor my blood so I don't make any unhealthy decisions? And could you advise me on stuff that's going to help me pass the drug test?
Pass the test.
Okay? I got multiple objectives. I don't know if, you know, there's enough 20-somethings who are in the NFL that realize it. Maybe they're so confident because of their talent and they've been kicking people's ass on the playing surface for the last 12 years of their life. They figure it's just a matter of time before they get good enough to start kicking ass. No, you don't have the leg, back, arm, chest strength to succeed at a high level in the NFL.
You're just 40 years too late, Gavin.
Yeah,
because they did that. Like
they already did that. Yeah,
yeah. They did that. Yeah,
and you know what? Congress and Balco, it scared a lot of people off.
Yeah.
It scared a lot of people off. Dudes are still doing it.
Yeah.
Then I'd go home and Google Robert Quinn. Look what happened. What was that? 2019. He was suspended for the first two games. Why? Performance enhancing drugs. What happened after that? He showed up and kicked ass for 10 weeks. What happened after that? 3 years and $45 million. His career was over, son. Now make the decision. Okay, we're coming back here. We got more sports content on the docket for you every afternoon, 2 to 7, 2 to 6:30 today with the Rangers coming up. How do Cowboys fans compare in the rowdy department? A new study reveals a surprise in the rowdy rankings, and we'll get that for you coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. 214, I'm not a PED advocate, but you can't deny the general's logic. Spot on. I thank you for recognizing that, sir. 469, well, if Gavin ran the Cowboys, he would for sure try to have soccer games in the Ford Center. No
That's
thanks.
True.
That's a gentleman in Carrollton.
You'd be asking the football team, the Cowboys, like, hey, guys, step aside. We're going to have a quick little run-through down here with the, what is it? 11U with the 11U squad.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, that's good turf.
Dak, hold on. Working on something over here. Set pieces.
Yeah, Dad. Yeah, I mean, wait your turn over here, man. We got some stuff. You know, we need to work on. They do, of course, play big soccer games at AT&T Stadium already, so I would not need to use the Ford Center. But it's a good idea. You know, you don't get many opportunities to practice in a place like that. Okay, do you consider Cowboys fans to be rowdy?
No.
Like, when I think rowdy, I'm like super loud.
Buffalo.
Obnoxious.
Raiders.
Kansas City.
Quite a bit, yes.
Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle's a...
New Orleans.
Seattle's just loud during the game, though.
Loud, but they are in Seattle.
So rowdy's also like they might throw an opposing fan into a garbage can and then laugh at them upside down, you know?
Mean, I do think people get stabbed out there once in a while. I think
sure.
We do have some of that.
You
so
do
maybe
your...
we are rowdy.
There is a random bout of violence, or I think there was even, unfortunately, a shooting a couple of years back. So stupid stuff happens when alcohol is there. But it's just like, to what degree does your stupid stuff happen? You can't apply an anecdote. You need a little bit more science. And scientifically, really all we have is, you know, I went to all the games for 5 or 6 years doing the pre and post, and Brian's been doing it for a long, long time as well. And from my perspective, when you go to any of the other NFC East spots, that's where you see rowdy and like shouting matches for fun, right? Like,
yeah, Philly is for sure rowdy.
Yeah, bookies
for sure.
Bookies. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I'll say this though. I've all those years of traveling with the Cowboys, I've never been more proud of fans showing up on the road and taking on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to the game last week, it got down to where in the last 2 minutes the Cowboys they need us. I mean, you're hearing defense, you know, defense. You're hearing the cheers and the chants, and I mean there are a lot of places that we've been where the Cowboy fans have made noise, or you get a sack and all of a sudden you could hear it in the press box.
Yeah,
you know, you're like the crowd totally into it,
and that's impressive because having been in that situation with the Rangers hat on,
right,
everyone around you is cussing at you and challenging you to a fight.
There are pockets of fans all, but they do a great job of making noise, but also defending the territory. I mean, you know, the home crowd is like all over you to begin with, everything going against you, and then you make just as much noise as there's no better feeling than I remember, like in New York and Philly and those places, Washington, standing on the field.
Yeah,
and it gets to the point where the home team are losing, and all the crowd clears, and then it's just Cowboy fans. So you look up like at FedEx Field in Washington, and all you see is Cowboy fans like cheering the end of the game. You know,
everybody else is left,
and everybody else is gone.
That is glorious.
And so the Cowboy fans on the road, they tip of the cap to them.
They are tough. They are tough, and I do think. There's a possibility that the Cowboy fan that travels, or maybe more accurately, the Cowboys fan that doesn't live here, he's grown up in enemy territory as a Cowboys fan. Maybe that dude is rowdy.
They're hardened, yeah.
Because you got to be hard to be that public.
Right.
And maybe that's what opposing fans are recognizing in their own house. Like, boy, these Cowboy fans don't play. They show up ready to fight.
Right.
And here we're like, well, not really, you know?
Yeah, not me. Yeah. Now, there are plenty. We got crazies.
Yes.
Got crazy. Got crazy.
Got tough guys. Absolutely.
We do. Yeah. I'll tell you, the one of my favorite Cowboy fans, there was a guy who ran the Sheridan Hotel right across the street from the Meadowlands. But he had to be kind of a closet Cowboy fan. He was, so he knew I would check in because I would be scouting. I'd let him know. So he put me like in the best suite, the food, everything. You know, he had like a waiting thing. Hey, Brian, it's great to have you. And I would bring him like gear. I'd bring him Cowboy gear in a box, but I'd have it all taped up.
Yeah.
And so when I'd see him, I'd hand it to him and he'd like, oh, Brian, great to see you. Thank you. It's great to have you at our hotel. He'd be all nice.
Yeah.
And then he would like call me later. Oh, I love this. I love this hoodie you brought me. Oh my God. But yeah, there are a lot of those fans that they do. He was one of those that tried to be quiet because he ran a property that was so close to where the Giants and he was doing business with the Giants. He just didn't. I had a security guy too on the sidelines at one time at Philadelphia come up to me and goes, he's like, hey man. He showed me he had his security jacket on, all that Eagle stuff. And he pulled it back and seeing, and it was a Cowboy T-shirt under all his security stuff.
There's Cowboys fans everywhere. Sometimes they got to be a little incognito, fly under the radar. 469 says there's a lot of Cowboy fans in L.A. Maybe SoFi will feel home field advantage.
A lot of fans out there, yeah.
214 says I'll fist fight anyone.
We got some of that. Yeah, we got some of that.
I think the away fan that's going to go there and really whoop it up is the kind of guy that either is really good at fighting or doesn't mind losing at fighting.
Yeah.
Kind of a glutton for punishment or something.
Yeah, that's my favorite guy. Is the guy who's not a good fighter but keeps fighting. Well, that guy cracks me
up. I'll tell
you
what, the fan I admire is the one that goes into those places we're talked about but wears the jersey.
Yeah.
Like they've actually got on a CD jersey or a Dak jersey or whatever, and you know they sit there the whole game. Because I've seen people in Philadelphia going to hockey games, guy had a New York Rangers with the sweater, the jersey, whatever you want to call it, and he got his rear handed to. I mean, people just but if you were in an opposing jersey going into a visiting stadium, man, that's showing some toughness, right?
Well, I mean, the first time that we didn't go to the stadium, but the first time we went to Philadelphia as a show for Army Navy. Jeff wore his Antonio Bryant 88 jersey, which was effectively a Dez jersey.
Yeah, I called it Dez jersey.
And we cruised around downtown and we're bar hopping and stuff. And everybody was talking to us like any other civilized city that you'd be in.
But they also, like when we first walked out and we were about to cross the first stoplight, a guy asked me, he's like, so what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I was like, just want to see what happens. Yeah. I do radio. And he was like, you're going to be fine here.
Yeah.
Don't go south.
Yeah.
He's like, don't go to South Philly.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
I was walking with Howard Eskin and like going to the Flyers game. And these Philly fans, they jumped this poor guy in that Rangers. I was like going, and Howard's like, I'm like, Howard, we got to do something, huh? He's like, oh, no, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. And I'm like, well, wait. He's like, no, he just keep going, Brian. Just keep going. I was like, all right, just keep walking.
They're not going to seriously hurt him, are they?
They
maybe
knocked him down quite a bit. Mm. We're kind of kicking him a little bit, too.
Well, bookies.com surveyed NFL fans across the country to determine the rowdiest fans. And what you got is Cowboys fans rank as the third rowdiest fan base in football.
There you go.
They even asked some players and coaches around the league, so they didn't have just, you know, fans piping off about this. NFL fans say Cowboys fans are most known for drinking too much. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's tough.
We do have a drinking culture, I think, but
yeah.
Other states drink just as much.
I think it's hard to put people in a box like that. Every city is the same, where there's some violent folks, there's some hammered drunk folks. You know, we're just trying to find the percentages here. I think we drink pretty good, but we're not that violent.
Look at the group of guys they're putting us in with. Top five rowdiest fan bases. 1, Eagles.
Yeah.
2, Bills.
Yeah.
3, Cowboys. Yeah. 4, Raiders.
Yeah.
We don't belong
there. A lot of great smell in the parking lot, those Raider games, by the way. And it ain't just the barbecue.
What is it?
People having a good time getting ready for the game.
What do you mean?
Burning sage?
Yeah. Burning sage.
Burning something.
Yeah.
Okay, they even did the top five rowdiest quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield.
Wait, okay.
Ben Roethlisberger. Cam Newton, he's not rowdy. Aaron Rodgers, not rowdy. Tom Brady got rowdy. He did.
Tom Brady is rowdy.
He did have a big offseason.
So they said it. Aaron Rodgers didn't even chug the beer right at that Bucks game, right? He didn't even finish the full thing. That's not being rowdy.
I don't know. You can't take down a beer. I don't know how they're doing rowdy here.
Yeah.
Because rowdy would be like, I bet Gardner Minshew's rowdy.
I'm going to tell you he's rowdy. Mac Jones is like he can be a drunk.
Yeah, he's got a beer gut and he's 22.
Fitzpatrick,
so like,
that's
rowdy.
Fitzpatrick's rowdy. Yeah.
Fitzpatrick's got to be a drunk guy. He's on the bar, shirt off, yelling.
Jameis is a recovering rowdy.
Mm-hmm. Rowdy, proud, and loud.
Yeah, you want
Philip Rivers was rowdy.
You want James on the? He's on the food committee. Like you send Jameis out when everybody's hammered to go get food for everybody.
Yeah,
he comes back with crab legs.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of other rowdy guys, and I'm drawing a blank.
I bet you the guy Josh Allen. Josh Allen would be a little rowdy guy.
Yeah.
Mahomes maybe, kind of that.
Oh yeah. That,
looks like one of the Muppets, kind of a rowdy
Yeah, you
Muppet.
Get him around his buddies in East Texas.
Yeah.
I bet he turns up
pretty good. He was at the Tech Houston game I was watching a couple weeks ago.
Andy Dalton?
Whoa.
Rowdiest coaches.
McCarthy could be in there.
Gruden?
Oh, yeah, John.
I've lived that one.
Zimmer?
Dan Campbell.
Yeah, I've lived that one. Yeah.
Zimmer.
Zimmer's rowdy.
Andy Reid? Rowdy?
Andy doesn't drink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't be rowdy.
But
if you want
to stand around and eat food all day, Andy's good for that.
And John Harbaugh, I don't know. Jim seemed a little rowdy.
I was with Harbaugh. He was really a rowdy guy.
More conservative.
Yeah, he was pretty conservative.
All righty, there you have it. The rowdiest quarterbacks, fan base. Apparently, we're pretty rowdy here, Cowboys fans. So drink up and get loud. When we come back, it's time for the third hour of the broadcast. What are we looking at here? Oh. It's time for a Ask Us Anything. In the nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.